Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm Tracy Barnett, your host and narrator. Heroes, today we wrap up our third and final session of the second run of Sleepaway here on the One Shot podcast. I again just want to take a moment to thank very, very, very much Brian Gray and Aram Vardian for taking the time and all of the shenanigans we had to pull to make this happen. This entire thing was just a delight, and I'm really excited for you to hear the finale of it. So, let's do that. Here's the show. I think the forest lets it carry really far. I think that Chet hears it as soon as the last bone is put on the stump. And we don't know, yeah. And we don't know where Spartacus is right now, but we'll weave that scream into his scene.
But you have heard the scream from Canvas before. Right. This is typically when Canvas gets pranked, because
right.
I don't know why everybody pranks Canvas. This is the scream of like something is not okay. So everyone is like, everyone knows who that was, just not what it was.
We're all aware of Canvas's various screams, yes.
But yeah, so Canvas is now like. Thought it was reaching for like some sticks and a leftover bag of graham crackers, and is just like screamed and then staring at the body of the squirrel that is like softly lit with the moonlight and the dying firelight, and is just kind of like frozen in this moment of like,
yeah.
There's no more energy left after the scream, honestly. But
yeah,
what move do you make?
I would say, I'm curious what the spell crafting ritual is.
I was gonna say, I would love to see the spell crafting ritual. Like, that would be really, really cool.
A strong move is to spell casting ritual, and this is in that moment. He catches himself, and he just kind of pauses, and he puts the squirrel body into the trash with the other things. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's just kind of a bit of like I have no idea what like you call the leftover viscera of like squirrel flayed remains.
I think you just said it. Yeah.
Oh, that's so nasty. But for a moment, he just focuses on that feeling, grounding himself in the moment. He focuses on his breath, and there's just this moment where he can see the moonlight reflected in the shine and of like the stuff on his hand, and he's just like focusing on being protected. Like, it's not like he's really. It is the spellcrafting ritual, but it's like the way he perceives magic is really like the world is a story. And yeah. In that moment, this is not where his story ends. And he is focusing on this to say, and this is not where something bad happens to me. It's sort of a minor ritual of protection that he is trying to do. Yeah. And
you craft with yeah. words.
I do want to say, and I would like to keep to the presentation of the game in this, the rituals mm-hmm. sort of break the rules. So, Brian, I need you to gather supplies mm-hmm. in the real world, you yourself, the person, for this ritual. Oh. So you need...
Neat.
Yeah. So you need a piece of paper and something to write with.
Okay.
So you chose your breath, right, as the character...
Yeah.
So you are to describe it with unexpected metaphor, just like for us. And just as a refresher, it's describe metaphors are like or as. So breath like, blah, breath as.
Then, yeah, it's...
I think I got that wrong. I think I gave you simile, but that's okay.
Wait, no, simile is like an
yeah.
as, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Breath
yeah.
is. So yeah, metaphors yeah. are direct descriptions. Breath is...
So, yes, it is currently out in the middle of the, out in the forest. It is that muggy summer, and yet Canvas's breath is an icy wind.
Nice.
It is in that moment, it is taking him out of the place that he's in, and it is kind of like a shock to the senses. So his breath is that ice kind of countering all of the other external stimuli that's on him at this moment.
Cool.
To kind of shock him back to where he is.
Great. So draw a line or portion of the symbol on a piece of paper. Excellent. Brian's showing it to us.
There it is.
Write a word on the piece of paper.
Any word?
A word.
Okay. All right.
Either burn the paper or dabble water on it.
All right, hold on. I'm trying to sprinkle and just touching it with a wet finger because I'm over my keyboard yeah. and I don't want to spill it.
And and then scatter salt on the paper.
One moment.
Nice. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Camp for me. I'm in the other room.
Currently, they are getting salt to sprinkle on their paper.
Salt from
the kitchen.
They are out
of frame. Assumedly. It could have salt somewhere else. It could be bath salts.
It could be bath salts.
Paper. The paper has been assaulted.
This
nice.
You end the ritual with the statement, "Well, that should do it. I hope it works."
Fair.
Which is actually that is actually what Canvas is saying to himself as he is coming out of, as he is coming out of this, and he is saying like. It's a feeling he's felt before, but he's never really kind of put it in words. But he's like, yeah, all right, that should do it. I hope it works.
Yeah. All right. And then if we had an actual space to pin this up, we would take the paper, we fold it and pin the paper to the cork board. So it's an item card. And at any point,
right.
Canvas, I assume, can remove the paper from the cork board and destroy it in order to negate the Lindworm's play.
Okay.
Wow.
So what I did was I put on slide number 2 that says camp, there is a gray box that says ritual paper. So yeah,
we can digitally burn that whenever yes. you wish.
That was fantastic. Make sure you spend the token that you just got for that strong move.
Yep.
And I am going.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. I'm really glad that you wanted to do that. So I have the cards here for Spartacus. I would like you two to choose what the impact actually is. So I don't have, like, I'm not going to look at what the cards mean. I'm just going to tell you what they are. So the last okay. bookmark of Channeling the Lindworm Aloud, if you scroll down a couple pages, you'll see some tables. We only have hearts, diamonds, and clubs, and the Lindworm okay. avoids hearts. So I'm going to hide those from myself. I can't see them now. So I'm going to shuffle up the cards again, and then I'm just going to show you two. Yeah, I'll just show you two what the cards are. And together, you two can pick one and read.
Yeah. Can you fan them out and we just go stop?
Well, I've got them up here. I'm going to do this.
Okay.
I'm going
to
do
this. So you're going to show them to us.
Double right. Yeah. I'm going to close my eyes. Okay. So,
right.
So
gotcha.
Can you see them?
All except for the one on your left. It's kind of tucked behind.
Oh, kind of tucked behind.
No, it's tucked behind.
There
we go.
Okay, yeah. Got it. Okay. And all right. Okay, so we have that and that. Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
That's, yeah.
Okay, can I hide the cards now?
Yep. Because
okay. we are still, we're still in night.
Yeah, agreed.
I've headed back to the ropes course, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where you were heading.
Okay. So what happens when the Lindworm shows up?
Your draw that we chose was 3 of clubs. Bloodstained fingernails. Pleas for help. Campers can't stop clawing at their own skin. Who?
So, I think I get back to the ropes course, and I think I get there, and I walk into the clearing, and it's daylight. And, like, the temperature shifts dramatically. It's much warmer than it was. There's a muggy kind of wind kind of blowing past, and I can hear the very familiar sounds of campers on the ropes course. And like I kind of mutter, I'm like, "What the f-?" And then I look up, and I'm up in the perch, right? I see myself in that same spot. But the lift that I would take to get myself there is down.
Ooh.
And I, like, without thinking, I run over and I haul myself up there. And I, like, I get up there and I reach out and I grab my own shoulder. And, like, I turn to face myself. And all the me who just went up the lift can focus on is the hands of this thing. Like, I'm used to my hands, right? They're calloused, they're rough, my skin is covered with scars, I don't bother hiding them, I wear short sleeve shirts or tank tops all the time, and so there's just like this like fine network of like rope burn scars all over my arms. But the fingernails have like bits stuck under them, and there's red around the edges. And that's when I hear the first scream, and I look down, and one of the campers, her name is Sadie, and she is an empty pill bug. Like, just the sweetest little cinnamon roll of a girl. She doesn't like the ropes course all that much. She usually never gets past the first sort of rung of things. She's up about three levels higher than she usually is, and she's got her arms like wrapped around a cargo net, and it looks like she's holding on for dear life, but her fingers are clawing at her face. And I like look up in horror at what I assume is me, and I would like one of you two to tell me what I see.
I think that out of this child is in danger. They're way up in the air, way too high for them to normally be. Like, everything's exaggerated right now, right? All the proportions of everything seem too big. They're so high in the air. Only you can save them, though. And you have to. You're the only one here. I think it's time for you to perform your impact.
Okay. So use the wood's impact on someone else. Well, what do I see when I see the face of myself?
I think if you're seeing yourself,
yeah,
right, there's always something in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
You like being alone, and you like the oddness of it. You like the whisper. There's something you connect with out there, right? But there's also something dark. There's always a shadow. There's always something a little too deep in the woods, a little too quiet, a little too dark. And whatever that shadow is, it's suddenly right here. And whatever you were afraid of it taking, it took. And that's why it has your face.
So, I think...
What secret did it steal from you?
What secret did it steal from me?
What don't you want anyone to know?
I don't want anyone to know that I'm in love with Jet. And, yeah. Like, I think...
Who would?
Poor Chet.
I think it's Chet's face that I see then, clawed and shredded.
Totally.
But I'm going to use the token that I just got from this play. So I'm still left with one. So it's not horrible. But I am going to reinterpret the Lindworm's play by redirecting it through the woods. And the woods themselves are evergreen and distrusting. And even though I have been exposed in this moment by this thing, the woods at best tolerate me, right? and they do not tolerate whatever is happening here. And so I think that just that overwhelming sense of the age of the woods and the timelessness of this place, of how even legends will come and go and the woods will still be there, really asserts itself in this moment. And so the reinterpretation, like directing the Lindworm's power through the woods, I think it doesn't, if I'm remembering correctly for how this works, it doesn't stop the Lindworm. Like there's only things like that ritual can actually stop the Lindworm.
It just comes here now, right?
So what that means then is that I immediately know that this isn't real, and all of it fades away from my vision. And what I realize is that in my desperate hauling myself up that rope, I was clawing at a tree, trying to get up it on my own, and I just couldn't. I didn't make any progress or any headway at all, and my fingers are the ones that are now bloody and cracked.
Wow.
Yeah.
I also realized that the tree I tried to climb up is the one that's at, I mean, right next to the lift. I just wasn't hauling on the rope, and it's still nighttime. There's still the battery powered lights. My hands are fucked, but the kid's not in danger, right? There's none of the kids are being harmed by any of this. And that's when I think I hear Canvas's scream ring out. And even though we all now know I'm in love with Chet, Canvas was an important person in my life for a little while, and I just haul ass back to the fire pit.
Yeah. I think at that same moment, Chet would hear the scream too.
When the last bone is put on the stump.
Yeah. 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 Oh, so, God. So he would look up, right? And he would hear the yell, and he'd look back towards Kevin, like, Kevin, get back to the camp. Go. Kevin takes off. He glances back to the stump. Nothing's on the stump. And he like does a double take, but he can't worry about that right now. And he sprints after Canvas screaming.
So I'm going to give away the woods as a setting element, right? Because they feel incomprehensible to me at this moment, right? And I am going to pick up the lake. So the lake is the setting element that I've got.
Awesome.
The air is musky, murky, misty, and it feels right. Like, I think it has gotten cold. I think it's...
fog has... Yeah, the lake has just sent a fog in, because the lake can do that on the
and
drop
I
of
think
a hat.
Both of us kind of come careening into the clearing at the same time. And you finish the ritual, like, you might be just okay now, Canvas.
Canvas is staring at their hand that they thought was like squirrel, and it's still like glossy, but that's sweat.
Mm-hmm.
It's like their own sweat, and there doesn't appear to be. It's almost like everything just kind of snapped out of it, and he notices the both of you running in.
You okay?
You
screamed like you had just, what happened?
Yeah, and we know you got like a lot of screams, right? But that was definitely your I'm not okay scream, not you. I just saw a bug scream or someone folded over the pages of my book.
It was like the prank scream, but it sounded
now.
Worse.
You can stop now.
It was kind of like the
you
prank
can all
scream,
stop.
But it's
I appreciate
also like if they fall off the boat and get
all
a
of my
wet
screams,
scream,
but it's really
or
not
if
the
they
time.
Have more than 17 emails scream, or if they have peaches that touch their rice scream.
Shut it.
Yeah. All right.
I was just cleaning off. I was cleaning up after the campers, and I must have grabbed something wet, and I think that I just got scared. It's a very strange night.
Where are the
you trying not to roll his eyes as I grab something wet in the woods? Scream. Yeah, you're in a fucking woods. Okay, yeah, whatever. Are you okay?
Are the kids okay? Are they back at the...
Yeah, I sent them back to the camp. They're fine. Kevin built like a weird bone thing, but I took it away from him.
I'm sorry, what?
You sent them back to the...
I don't know. He had bones and he built a thing. I sent them back to the camp. They're fine. They're fine. There was like, you know, they got to home base. They're fine. We should probably go check on them.
I think we all three somehow make mutual eye contact at the same time. And we head back to the camp.
Right.
Just start tear-assing back.
These are our monkeys. We got to... This is definitely our circus and our monkeys. We got to go do this. 100%.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Yeah, so we just run back. Like, all of us mm-hmm. in a Scooby-Doo run.
Oh, my gosh. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think...
So, is there anything in the camp? Would be my question. Like, if we run back, is that
we
camp...
Were, hold on. If we were running back, yeah. Let's see here.
Because now would be a good time for there to be, like, a climactic...
Well, that usually means one thing, right? In this game.
Yeah.
Are you making...
No.
Because we've teased it.
Are you making that move?
Right? Well, here's what I think. So... All three of us are running back now towards the camp. We're alone. I think this road takes us out along the edge of the cliff. So this path now runs out to the edge of the woods and along the cliff and along the lake, right? So at this moment, we're now running with the moon hitting us, the waves crashing below us, and we're sprinting towards the camp. But we're at our most alone. We've exposed ourselves. We've exposed our longings. We've made mistakes. If we were going to be hit, it'd be now, right?
I just have safety questions about the makeup of this camp. Now there's a cliff.
1975. No one cares about safety. I don't know.
Wow.
So are you inviting what I think you're inviting?
Yeah, 100% inviting it.
All right. So since we established that this is a way that we can do this, I'm going to just deal up the cards and Brian and I will close our eyes and I'll hold them up to the camera and you can choose at the table and then tell us what it is and where it impacts. So
yes. Okay. Okay. Give me a second. Okay. I've got it. I know what it is. Confusion and mist. So as we're running along this cliff, the fog gets thicker and thicker to the point where it actually separates us and we all get a little bit disoriented and spun away from each other. We're within 10, 15 feet of each other. We can hear each other, but we can't see each other. Can barely see the hand in front of our own face. Someone lashes out against someone else. Who and why?
I
leave the kids alone.
It doesn't necessarily say that it's for like a reason though. Like any one of us could feel what we think is like a hand on our shoulder or something that spooks us in this fog. And Spartacus is the one who just saw like a vision of other people and like strange happenings to things. I think that just in the midst of this pea soup thick fog, I think that Canvas like reaches out and gets a hand on Spartacus's shoulder, and I think Spartacus turns around and with those same bloodied fingers slashes and like scrapes into Canvas's cheek and like we, the audience, can see that it mirrors the marks that were on Chet's face in the vision.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
When Canvas screams, like Spartacus is like, oh, shit. Fuck. Are you okay?
No, I'm not. Ow. Okay. First off, ow. That was really, really
don't
super
reach
hurtful.
Out.
And also actually painful.
In the dark.
I couldn't see anybody. I was scared.
Where the fuck
and then,
is Chet? Chet.
The whole time you guys have been talking, what happened with Chet is that Chet heard those same voices, that same pull in the darkness, that same thumping
Like if he could just get a little bit deeper, a little bit
what he hears
lower,
when he's underwater.
He could hear them. So Chet's going to take a weak move.
Oh, no.
And Chet's going to give up at the worst possible moment. So as you guys are fighting, Chet's just slowly walking through the fog towards the edge of the cliff.
Oh, dip. Okay.
Oh, no. Okay.
The lake is crashing below him, lashing against the cliff, crashing against those rocks.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm, goodness gracious. Yeah, this is.
This is
a lot.
this is like it.
Okay. No. I just looked at the lake's moves. This is not helpful.
The lake has got some messed up moves.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at what I have available to me, and I'm going to take action, leaving myself vulnerable. I hear Chet's dumbass just mumbling to himself about how he's going to finally find it this time, and then I hear his feet are like kind of shuffling along, and I hear him kick a rock, and I hear it go clack, clack, clack. And I run toward the sound, and I think I get a hold of him and like yank him back, but now I'm off balance.
Yeah.
Right near the edge of the cliff.
Yes.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to the midroll. Heroes, today is the day. It's Miracle Monday. That means that it is entirely possible that right now, at this exact moment, if you are downloading this on May 16th, 2022, that Jeff Stormer is streaming live right now on the One Shot Network Twitch channel. It is a charity stream in support of Trans Lifeline, and let me tell you, Jeff has... you get stuff for donating. So for $15, you can enter into a bundle giveaway. There are 4 superhero games, and one winner gets a grand prize bundle with even more. $40, you get entered to win a creative consulting session with Devin Preston. And for $75, you get... this is amazing. You get a session of Anyone Can Wear the Mask with the creator, the man, the myth, the legend, Jeff Stormer. There are milestones for how much is being raised. It's just, it's a really, really great thing. Jeff is hoping to raise $1,500. You know what, heroes? Head on over there, twitch.tv/oneshotrpg, and let's help Jeff blow this goal out of the water. It's Miracle Monday. Let's make it absolutely miraculous.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Now, with all that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
lifeguard Hell kicks yes. in. It's the first thing of it. Like, the second he would, like, he would just snap out of it right away. And I'm going to spend one of those tokens right away. And I am going to get you out of harm's way. So whatever that takes to happen, whether I spin around with you, whether I grab, like, you know what it is? You know what it is? It's the rope swing I put in to piss off Spartacus. So just as you go out, I grab you and we both sway far out over the lake, over the darkness, right? And the moon kicks out from behind the clouds at this one moment when we're out over the lake. And for just a second, you and I can both see something very, very big below us. And then the moon dips back and we swing right back onto the cliff and crash onto our sides. A stop.
And like, I'm kind of shaking and... And I kiss you.
Okay. And so we're like on our side looking at each other. You kiss me, right? And there's this moment where like, I just kind of tense up, but then relax for a second, and my eyes open and your eyes open, and for a second it's exactly what you wanted. It's that perfect moment.
And then that darkness, that something in the lake, we feel that enormous presence almost in the back of our minds, and something, a tentacle, who knows what, reaches up the cliff and wraps around Chet's leg and pulls as I use the lake move, feed the waves.
Yeah.
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 I don't even think it's as formed as a tentacle.
It's like mist.
It is some unformed force of darkness. It is.
Yeah.
It is concealed darkness. We've
been going back and forth a lot, me and Aram have here. Brian, does Canvas have anything that they're going to try to do? Keeping in mind that whatever is pulling Chet is not the Lindworm, it's the lake.
Let's see here. I think... Oof. Okay, we're doing Feed the Waves. Ah. Don't feed them. No, we don't want to feed them.
Feed them. They've always hungered for me.
I'm going to take action, leaving myself vulnerable, and I think... Mm-hmm. As this is happening, like, I'm going to be that next person who is reaching, like, if you're reaching to help, I'm going to basically be reaching to be an anchor and trying to pull back.
Yeah. Give me something to grab onto.
That's the action I'm going to take, is I'm basically going to try and keep that momentum going backwards away from being over the cliff. So yeah, take action, leaving yourself vulnerable.
Yeah, I think you grab on, and I think whatever's pulling pulls hard enough to yank both of you along.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh. I am going... Oh. Yeah. I'm gonna crawl up onto my hands and knees, and I am going to just bellow and just shout something deep and primal. Like, whatever's in... I'm getting this very weird sense that the lake and the woods are like mortal ancient enemies at this point in time.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm channeling something, because one of my regular moves is lash out at someone by using the woods as a weapon. Yeah. And the woods are evergreen, baby. I am going to shout a tree over to slam onto this tentacle and either pin it or break it into two pieces. Just stop whatever's happening.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I don't know how the hell that works, but yeah.
It's just a regular move, baby.
That's a regular move. I know. That's like nothing. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
So you're right at the edge, right?
You both are
like hanging off.
Yeah.
And you're right at the cliff edge.
Yeah. Also, I'm giving away the lake as a setting element because it feels too dark and exhausting to bear at this point in time.
Sure. Totally.
So while you say what you're going to say next, I will... Oh, I'm going to pick up the field.
Okay.
I think I can pick up the field now.
Yeah, totally. You can pick up the field.
Someone is frantic or hurried? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Here's what I'm thinking real quick. I want us all in the lake.
You really do, if it's possible.
Okay. If in this moment where you've slammed down this tree... And you're right at the edge, and every, like, there's this triumphant moment. If Kevin was just to appear and just Give you a little push.
I think we need to invite the Lindworm in and see what happens. That's what feels the most appropriate.
Totally. Someone's either gonna die or come close now. We're at that point where we need it. Yeah.
Yeah, because the way this game keeps tilting is that and we don't get I don't know if you looked at the spades offerings on the Lindworm's table, but there's a reason the spades are not in the one shot deck.
Right. Yeah.
They're vicious. And why you add them back in as you play multiple sessions of a campaign.
Totally.
If you think it needs to be that brutal, then we can make an exception.
It needs to be, but it's kind of fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Brian, Aram is feeling some...
Oh, I heard all of that.
Excellent.
Yeah. No, it's time to go.
There we go. Okay.
So this will not guarantee that they're going to show up.
Right.
But... I'm going to shuffle all the spades into the deck.
Nice. Yes.
Okay. Let me look at the spades actions.
Some of them are brutal. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I'm going to roll up the sleeves. Let's get busy.
Now, there is no guarantee in dealing three cards when Aram is about to make the move to invite the Lindworm that we're going to get a spade.
But we can hope.
But now there is a possibility. So we're going to do...
Come on.
The same thing we did last time. Brian, if you would close your eyes.
It's just so tempting to invite the Lindworm all the time. It's all I want to do.
I think that's a problem. That's a problem with that element of darkness. It's always on the edge, and it's always waiting for you to invite it in. And
totally. Yep.
And it's one of your, four weak moves? So,
Always. Yeah.
Always.
Yep.
So, here are your cards, Aram.
Oh, that's disappointing. Bummer.
Oh, no.
1 second. Yeah, it's two hearts, so I don't really have a choice. Okay. Yeah, okay.
I can interpret it in a really cool way, though, so come on.
Yes.
Okay. I believe in you.
So it is a three of spades. You run in circles like mice in a cage. Divide the map in two. It requires a strong move to cross the division. So that, to me, says... Some of us fall and some of us don't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. In terms of locations, we now have, I don't know if we're thinking about when we're falling towards the lake, if we're falling into the lake.
Yeah.
Because the lake not only becomes a play, but it becomes a location itself where we are.
Right.
And then we also have the kind of the cliff top path where we were.
Right.
So this is definitely splitting us up.
I imagine it would take a strong move to dive off that cliff and into the lake.
So the question is then...
Based on what we have, I have no tokens. So right. Canvas could not make, without another weak move, Canvas could not make a strong move.
Right.
I have one token.
Right, I get two.
Right, but you also just made the weak move.
Right.
So
it's three.
So fictionally, it needs to go on to someone else.
And right.
It seems like that would be me.
Yep.
So
yep.
I am going to spend my last token to reinterpret the Lindworm's play by redirecting it through the woods.
Nice.
So I think what happens, I called this tree down, right? And it slammed onto... this smoke monster-esque tentacle that has wrapped around Chet's leg. And I think that in this now apparently eternal battle between woods and lake, the woods are asserting themselves over this section of the cliff. And I think we get a massive growth of trees. It doesn't change what the Lindworm does. We're still separated. Well, it takes a strong move to overcome, so we're not separated, but we are firmly in the woods and not the lake. We all fall, right? The edge of the cliff crumbles, but as we are tumbling down, trees are growing up around us, and we're kind of bouncing off of them, which is slowing our descent. We get to the edge, and I think we end up a dozen feet from the water. We're on this not even sand beach, because the waves aren't powerful enough for sandy beaches in a lot of areas around the Great Lakes. It was just like rocks and pebbles and broken shells, seagull shit, and we're all just kind of laying there. I think that Spartacus is probably mostly okay, but only because the scarring they already have on their exposed arms isn't really affected very much by that big tumble. What kind of damage or effect does this have on the other two? Like, we fell down like a 40-foot embankment.
Yeah, I'm assuming, like, even with rolling and hitting things along the way that didn't have us at like terminal velocity or anything, it's not great. I can assure you Canvas is no longer worried about the scratches on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything hurts.
Yeah, it is definitely torn off my shirt. I am shirtless.
You are really not making this easy on anyone right now, are you?
Shirtless and beat to shit.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, essentially, like, that's just it. Like, there's still this moment of shock. So the fact that the pain hasn't actually sunk in anymore, but it's beaten and bruised on the way, you know, beaten and bruised at the end of our like tumble down.
Yeah.
And the fact that now we're on like, this is not like a nice, it's not a nice place to be if you're already injured, because this is not great terrain. So yeah, it's not
a
great.
A shallow rock bed right by the crashing waves is not great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what do you feel like the lake is doing right now? Do you feel like the lake is crashing, or is the lake silent?
If the forest has risen up to fight the lake is probably getting ready to fight back.
Hmm.
So I have a question to ask each of you then, after the use of my strong move, which I think is going to inform where I attempt to get us next. And the question I would like each of you to answer is, where does your character feel safe?
In the lake.
For
frankly,
real?
Yeah,
really?
He feels safe in the lake. I mean, look, he likes to swim. He's a strong swimmer. He's comfortable in the water. Like, the lake makes him feel safe. When he's swimming, he's more agile than he is on land. Like, that's just where he's good.
And that hasn't changed after all of this.
Mean, right now, like, does he want to go in the lake? No. But like, in general, I thought you're asking me. I'm sorry. Like, right now, he wants to be in his sleeping bag.
if that's like the, I mean, this is all sort of answered metafictionally, so it, like, yeah, it can be both answers, right?
Yeah.
Like, it can be Chet looking out at the lake and just kind of being like, oh,
it might not be where he feels safe, right? But he's still convinced if he was to go deep enough,
right,
there'd be answers.
The lake is inside of him somehow.
Yeah.
But the sleeping bag would feel dandy right now.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I mean, honestly, legit.
And what about Canvas?
Wow. At this moment, because Canvas has had a lot of things going on, I would simply say Canvas would feel safe in Spartacus's arms.
Okay.
Because it's been a heck of an evening.
Yeah. This feels kind of like
scarred ropey arms. Yeah.
Yeah. The denouement point of this thing. And so, like, I think that I stand up and I try and get both of you back up on your feet, and I just get arms around shoulders, right?
Yeah.
Upper body strength.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just start following. I mean, I use a regular move. I ask the woods for advice. I'm like, where do we go? And I think that there are, through this growth and whatever just happened, there are enough trees that are just kind of partially leaned over, enough pine trees, that they, if you were to zoom out, it would make almost like an arched pathway. But it's not obvious to anyone but me.
A whip of wind, right? Strong blast of wind hits these woods, and the trees sway and crack, all just in a way where you see for a moment a path, and the moon splits right at the very end of this tunnel that gets made in the trees, and then they just whip back together. But you know exactly where to go.
And I start walking us back to camp.
Oh, I'm glad you know the trees, man.
Yeah, it's comes in handy sometimes. You guys all right?
No. No, we fell like 60 feet and the trees are mad at us? No, dude, I'm not okay.
It's good. I'm glad that it's that kind of not all right and not.
Yeah, also there was like something down there. It, like the lake keeps talking to me, dude. I don't know, man.
I canvas at that point, like kind of being held, just like kind of leans over and just says, oh, I love you. And you're not sure who he's talking to, using one of his weak moves to confess your love for someone in a way that's just awkward.
Oh,
like,
man,
out of nowhere, completely unbidden, just like, oh, I love you.
Oh, yeah, man, I love you. Yeah.
Now is not the time, Canvas. Let's just go.
Chet just assumes it's about him.
and I think as we sort of fade out on this, the camera like pans back and you can just see them sort of walking into the woods. And I don't think it's really clear whether or not they make it back to camp safely that night. Like, I think
they
that's
do not.
As we're walking back, right? So the camera's pulling back and you can just see us walking into the woods and it pulls back. And then you see the camera get low as it comes over like a mound of grass. And you just see one of those little bone figures that Kevin made rise up and crack, and then another one and another and dozens.
Oh yeah.
And hundreds
around the edges of the edges the camera us. Darkness just starts slowly flowing in, like, yeah.
Oh, some of them get bigger. There's one like a moose, just
not a moose. Oh no. That's a lot of bones. That's a lot of bones though.
I don't know if you've met Aram, Brian, but Aram doesn't have brakes.
No, I don't. I really don't.
Both of you, thank you so, so sincerely so much for playing this with me tonight. I know this was a last minute plan born of a last minute plan that also had a side of technical issues going into it. So yeah. I'm just really grateful. This was such a good time and I cannot wait for people to hear this.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this is fun. I kind of love games like this that I love Diceless because I don't like doing math, but also
sure.
GMless are fun because they're so much more collaborative and
everybody's like
putting their piece in the story. And it's like one of those moments when like someone's kind of like, you can see people talking over each other, but they're both building in elements of the things. And it really is great. And you know, it's not like we were trying to actually draft a script or draft a story. So remembering what we said in the moment, but forgetting what we might have said a few moments ago is like, it all worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like how people would be. Yeah. Yeah. And also like, I like this because we've been looking for different ways to tell stories that D&D's not good at with monsters. Right. And the idea of taking our show, using it to tell a story about a monster where no one plays the monster, where the monster just kind of plays itself, is really interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that idea quite a lot. I'm definitely going to dive back into this.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Well, we can hit stop and save on our recordings.
Hell yeah. If I can find it. There you are. And
this episode of One Shot features music from the following artists: Meadow by Stephen Keach, Rapids on the River by Dario Benedetti, We All Have a Place by Curtis Parks, Time for Healing by Gold Coast, Breath of Life by Darren Cooper, A World Suspended by Brent Wood, Miles Away by Michael Bergoglio, Sandals and Sundowns by Cast of Characters, Curiosity by Shimmer, Asylum by Cody Martin, and Cobalt by Scott Buckley. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy. Well, that's it for One Shot this week. But don't worry, we'll be back next week with a brand new series and a brand new GM who will be running 1,000-Year-Old Vampire. As always, we finish one shot with a call to action, and I'm just going to echo what I said in the mid-roll. Heroes, trans people need help. Trans Lifeline helps trans people. Jeff Stormer is raising money for Trans Lifeline, potentially right at this very second. Again, if you downloaded it on Monday and so on and so forth, go to twitch.tv/oneshotrpg, watch Jeff's Miracle Monday stream, see a bunch of amazing stream superhero games from people all across the One Shot Network, and send a donation to Trans Lifeline. Thanks, heroes. And if you liked this show, you should check out some of the other shows in the One Shot Podcast Network. Shows like All My Fantasy Children. Each week, Aaron Catano-Sayas and Jeff Stormer, yes, that Jeff Stormer, and yes, that Aaron Catano-Sayas, take listener-submitted prompt and, using some of their favorite tabletop RPGs, create an original fantasy character. Along the way, they share laughs, stories, verbal hugs, and populate a shared universe one story at a time. This is a show that just keeps on giving. You need to check it out.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/oneshotpod, or look for news on the site at oneshotpodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at gamemaster@oneshotpodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes. In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.